And that's big business, you know, selling pillows and all that kind of stuff. No, he's not talking about that. He's talking about like a column, a pillar that supports something. Paul said one time in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 9, he said, talking about Peter and some other men there, he said, you're pillars in the church. They're pillars in the church. In other words, they help support the church. It's like a column which supports other things around it, see. So the church is like a pillar which supports and promotes the truth. It's called the pillar and the ground of the truth. The way we do that, support and promote the truth, we do that by preaching and teaching the truths that are found in the Holy Bible. Pillar and ground are used in the sense of supporting the truth and holding it up and promoting it, you see. And the truth that he's talking about there, the pillar and ground of the truth, that would be the truth that's found in the Bible. That would be the written words of God, the truth there, these truths that we stand for. Jesus said in John chapter 17, in verse number 17, he said, thy word is truth. He's talking about the written word of God. You have two kinds of truth. You have the living truth, that's Jesus Christ. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Then he's talking about himself. He is truth embodied. Truth in a body, you see. He is the word of God. He is the truth of God. He spoke the truth, absolute truth. Out here among in the world, you don't find absolute truth, but in the Bible is absolute truth, and in Jesus Christ is absolute truth without any error, you see. So that's the pillar and ground of the truth, you see, the truth that is found in the Holy Bible that we stand for, the truth of the Scripture, the faith. Jude said in verse number 3, the little book of Jude with one chapter in verse number 3, it says there that we are to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. See, and so that's the truth, the body of truth that we stand for. And so I'm going to talk to you this morning for a few minutes about our church here and the church in general. I have 3 points. Number one, the church, and number two, the people, and number three, the pastor. See, so number one, the church. A Bible-believing church is not a man-made institution, but people might get the idea that it is when they see all these different kinds of churches out here. They may think, if they don't know any different, they may think, well, you know, there's no difference. They all got the word church upon them, you know, and so it doesn't make any difference, and they may be confused, but there's different ones out there, see. But that's just a trick of the devil to cause confusion and deceive people. The church that we're dealing with here, you know, on the news media, if you listen to them, see, well, you know what, the church. They're talking about the Catholic Church. That's not what the Bible is talking about. See, we're talking about truth here. See, it couldn't be the Catholic Church if we're talking about truth. We're dealing with truth. It's not what they call it on the church. The church is not what they call that. But there are true Bible-believing churches, and we happen to be one. We believe the Bible, and we practice what the Bible says. We call ourselves Baptists. We have the name Baptist upon us because that identifies it. We have certain beliefs that we believe in, that we stand for, that Bible-believing Christians have stood for since the days of the apostle. See, that's why we have that name on there. Just because somebody's a Baptist, that doesn't mean that they're saved. That has nothing to do with it. But that has to do, that identifies us and tells people something about what we believe in. I don't want to take that off. I don't want to lose that. So the church in the Bible can be one of two things. It can be, number one, it can be the body of Christ, all saved people. All saved people in the world. The body of Christ is the body of Christ of which people are added to whenever they get saved. That's called the church in some places. But that's not a local church. That's not a local visible church like we're talking about right here. Let me show you some verses about that. See, whenever you get saved, God does a lot of things in your life that people don't even know about whenever they first get saved. I didn't know anything about when I got saved except that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's it. I thought I'm saved. I thought I'm going to go to heaven. That's all I knew. But I didn't know anything else. I didn't know about any doctrines or anything like that, see. You see, God does a bunch of things that takes you a long time. Maybe sometimes people, they get saved, takes them the whole life to learn about what happened to them on that one little split second whenever they said yes to Jesus. Takes you a long time to learn what God has done for you. He adds you to the body of Christ. He regenerates you. He gives you life on the inside. He redeems you. He forgives your sins. And all that, he baptized, spiritually baptizes you into his body. You won't have to come back to 1 Timothy, so you can go back over to the left to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 12, he says, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 12, 12, for as the body is one. Now that word body right there, see, that'd be your body, this body right here. See, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being members are one body, so also is Christ. So he's using the human body there as an illustration, just like your body is one and it has many members. It has parts to it. Well, so does the body of Christ, you see. He says, so also is Christ. He is one body, but many members, you see. He says, verse number 13, for by one Spirit, that Spirit there, that's a capital S, that's the Holy Spirit of God. See, this could be a local church except for that little phrase right there. He says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, you see. That'd be by one Spirit, that'd be the Spirit of God would place you into the body of Christ. That'd be everybody. It doesn't matter what denomination they have. I'm not for all denominations, but I don't believe only Baptists are saved. There are saved people possibly in all denominations. And those people are part of this body right here, but they're not part of this body right here. This Baptist church right here. This Baptist church that we're sitting in right here. This assembly of people right here is a type and a figure of that body. Of the body of Christ, you see. So he said, by one Spirit, Spirit of God, are we all baptized, spiritually baptized. The word baptism means to immerse. And so you are immersed and you become a part of the body of Christ. You become a part of him and he's part of you. You're in him and he's in you. See, that's eternal security. So he said, therefore, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Whether we be bond or free and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, see. So you see that there's a spiritual body. It's a literal spiritual body that you cannot see. You cannot see. I'll have to move on here or I'll get behind. Turn on over to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5 and look at verse number 24. Ephesians 5, 24 says this, therefore as the church, Ephesians 5, 24, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus Christ died for all men, all people. Everybody that's saved is a part of the church here that he's talking about. Look down in verse number, I believe it's verse number, look at verse number 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Folks, can that be visible? This is a visible church here that you can see. We can't see Jesus Christ. We can't see him, but the Bible says here that we're part of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. That's a real, literal, spiritual thing, you see, that you cannot see. You're part of him and he's part of you. That's what I told you back over there in 1 Corinthians. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. You see, every person, everybody that's saved. One more time, Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 18. Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 18. He says there, and he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now that church there, he's the head of the body. See, That would be that spiritual church that we're talking about. See, look in verse number 24. He says there in verse number 24, he said, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. I got one more for you in Hebrews chapter number 12. If you're going over to Hebrews chapter number 12. All right, in Hebrews chapter number 12, look in verse number 22. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 22, it says there, but ye are come. Now, what Paul is saying here, the writer here, he says what we're talking about here. When ye are come, he says, this is what we're talking about here. But ye are come into Mount Zion. And what he does here, he makes a distinction between the Old Testament and the New Testament. He rightly divides, and in verse number 18 down through 21, he's talking about the Old Testament. It would be back in chapter number 19 of the book of Exodus, which we studied. But verse number 22, he's talking about now in the New Testament. Verse number 22, ye are come unto Mount Zion, that be heaven, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. See, that's what we're talking about here. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant. See, we live under the new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So he's called there, that church that we're talking about there, that all people are added to whenever they get saved. He calls that the general assembly and church of the firstborn. See, so that's a spiritual church. But then there is the local church assembly, like the Grace Fellowship Baptist Church. That's what we are. Amen. The church was established by Jesus Christ when he was here on earth to be a witness on earth, to preach the gospel, to be a witness for him. As I told you before, the word church means a called out assembly. We have been called out from the world to assemble together, to praise God, to sing, to preach, and to teach, and to have fellowship. And we are bound together by the faith of the gospel. The gospel being this, defined for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 1, 2, 3, and 4. The gospel is this, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried and that he was raised from the dead on the third day. That is the gospel that we are to preach. He said, go and proclaim that gospel that Jesus is alive, that he is risen from the dead. See, and we're bound together by the faith of that gospel. So we are an individual local Baptist church. There are individual churches. I could spend a whole lot of time. I could go over to John chapter number 17 and show you there that, you know, that God did not mean when he said that we are all one. He did not mean that we're to do away with denominations. He didn't mean that. He did not mean for us to go and join up with people who don't believe the Bible. He didn't mean that at all, you see. Now, some people think, oh, we got to get everybody together. No, you don't. No, you don't. Let me tell you something. God is a divider. God divides things. First thing he did in the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, in verse number 4, he divided the light from the darkness. And whenever people don't preach the truth, they don't believe the Bible says that you're to have no fellowship with them. You see, you're not to do that. You're not to drop the truth so for the sake of love and fellowship. That's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. But we are an individual. We are an individual church. I need to show you a couple of more verses here. If you'll go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I just want to point out a couple of one or two things there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 2. I just want to point out to you that it is an individual church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 2, it says, Paul is writing, he says he's writing unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, you see, to them which are sanctified in Christ Jesus. I wanted to point that out to you, that it is a local church there. Looking over to the right a little bit, chapter 4 and verse number 17. Chapter 4 and verse number 17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Individual local assemblies. A couple of more over in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 1. He says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus or Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians. That's what I want you to notice. He's talking. You see, folks, if everybody preached the same thing and there was only one church in Portales, then that'd be the church of God right there, see. But there's not. There's a bunch of churches and they all teach a whole bunch of other things. So you've got to keep yourself separated and you got to preach and teach the right thing. That's why we have different things. That's why we have different, they call them denominations. I don't believe in denominations. I don't believe in being a big part of a conglomeration of a whole bunch of churches where they have a headquarters and they send out directions. If they teach error up there, then it filters down to all the churches. I believe in a local church right here where we have the Bible and you have a pastor and you preach and teach the Bible. You can look at it yourself, and if somebody's teaching the wrong thing, then you know that. You know that. You can do something about that, you see. And so I don't believe in the Southern Baptist Convention. I don't believe in a Lutheran church. They're all denominations, Presbyterian. They're just going rotten as you know what. They're rotten. If you see United on a church, the United this or that, they're no good. They're no good. I'll tell you it again. They are no good. Individual churches. Churches are to be. They are individual. That's the same thing in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. You look at it there, it says the same thing. Paul is writing to the local church at Thessalonica, you see, under the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father. See, there's only one church there probably, but then later on they became other churches. They had to split up. They had to split up. Why? Because people started preaching error. People started teaching and preaching error. Churches to be established in the faith. It says that in Acts chapter 16 and verse 15. And one more, you're pretty close there. If you'll turn back to Ephesians chapter 3, I'll show you one last verse on this point. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. My point there was the churches are to be established in the faith. And another point here was the churches to bring glory to God. Look in Ephesians 3 and verse number 21. 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So whenever we come together, our purpose is to bring glory to God by praise and hymns and songs and spiritual songs, confession of sin, preaching the Bible, and all that kind of stuff. That's my first point. Number one, the church. Number two is the people. We are all the people of this church right here. We are an assembly of people. People make up the church. The building is not the church. The church has a pastor. It has elders or elders. I'm an elder. Jeff is an elder. Jesus Christ is his chief shepherd, and the pastor is just the under-shepherd. We'll talk about the pastor in just a minute. This church right here is not a new church. It's not a new church. Now, if we take this location here where there's been a church, probably been 40 or 50 years, this church has been a church in this location here, 40 to 50 years. But I became your pastor on October the 6th in the year 2013, that's 6 years ago. 2 weeks from today, it'll be six years ago. We've not had any trouble. We've not had a speck of trouble. There have been a few people left. I wish they wouldn't have left. You know, if people are going to leave a church, they ought to leave over a good reason. They ought to leave for a good reason. They ought to first try to fix it if they can. But if they're going to leave, but you know, most time people leave over personalities. Anytime people have left, I've tried to do right and talk to them. But most time when people leave, they don't come back. I wish they would. I wish they would. It causes me much grief. But I became your pastor 6 years ago. And then on February the 9th in 2014, the next year, we formed we put the Grace Baptist Church and the Fellowship Baptist Church over there, where I was pastor over there for 5 years. We put them together and we formed the Grace Fellowship Baptist Church, and we did it all just right. We had a business meeting. What we did, we dissolved both those churches. We dissolved the Grace Baptist Church and the Fellowship Baptist Church, and we formed a new church called the Grace Fellowship Baptist Church by a vote of you people, and most of you people, a lot of you people have been here all that time. And I thank you for being steadfast, for staying by the stuff. Jeff and his family came here in June of 2014. That's a little over 5 years ago, 5 years and 3 or 4 months. They have all grown. They have all grown. His kids have grown up. His family has grown up. They've all grown not only that way, but in the faith. For over 5 years, Jeff has preached every week. He's preached to us over 300 times. They've taken care of the nursery. They've sing for us, played the piano. Michael played the piano. And they've been a blessing to us, a blessing to me. When they're not here, I miss them. Not only in the church, not only is them being here, but there's, we have, by the way, I won't say this again, but I'll tell you one time. I might have mentioned it once or twice, but Jeff, I called Jeff up and I asked him if he wanted to pray about that, about coming over here, because I knew that God was doing something in his life, and he prayed about it for a long time, him and his wife, Becky, and maybe their family. Jeff was making a good money in Pampa, Texas. I don't know exactly how much. I didn't ask him, but I think it's, well, I better not say how much. But he come over here, he left, they sold their house on a nice street. It was one of the nicest houses around. But they sold that to come over here. And when they got here, of course, they worked for half as much, about half as much as he's working over there. But see, that's part of it. That's part of the ministry. He's not complaining. And I'm not complaining. I'm not saying that for you to think we're complaining. Of course, we're not, because it's part of it. Being a pastor of an independent Baptist church is not a cushy job, you know. Big salary with all that kind of stuff. So anyway, but that's what they did. They came over here for the purpose to help us, to help me, and to help our church. And that's what they've done for the last, not only Jeff, but I have Sal and Nicole here. Y'all may not know this, but years ago, I can't remember exactly how many years ago. What was it, 10 years ago? They were in Amarillo. What is it? 10 or 9? 9 years ago. They had a good business going on in Amarillo, and they sold that business for the sole purpose of coming down here to help me over there in the church. I didn't have a song leader. I didn't have a piano player. You talk about doing it all, I had to do it all. I did everything but keep the nursery and take up the offering. But they come over here to help me. And then they came over here to help us, to help me. And I'd say this if they weren't my kids, I'd say this, but they've been a blessing to me. And I appreciate them. I appreciate very much. Some of you folks have been here for all this time. We got Joe and Debbie Martinez back here. If you ever want to know anything about me, go and ask Joe and Debbie, because they've known me for like 35 years. And they've been our good friends. Brother Joe and Debbie and all of their family have been our good friends for like 30 years. And I appreciate them. And John and Wendy Wynn came. And what a blessing to have somebody that teach the teenagers. And we appreciate that. And Steve and Amy Butler, our song leader for 5 years. And Miss Butler, she's the church secretary, and she's been a perfect secretary for all these years. I want to keep them around. I'm sure they're going to be here for the next 20 years, you know, at least. But anyway, all of you folks have kept the church going, supporting the missionaries. Thank you for supporting the missionaries. We brought a bunch of missionaries. I brought them over here from the other church, you know. We took them. Right now, well, I have dropped some of them, but we're supporting a lot of them. We've never missed a month, never missed paying any bill on time, every time. We have some money in the bank. We're all almost almost all members here this morning. We have some money in the bank a little bit. This day and age, it wouldn't last very long, but you know. But we thank God for that. Let's go to another subject here, the pastor. Turn your Bibles, please, to Titus chapter 1, verse number 1 to 9. Titus chapter number 1, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and then Titus. 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus chapter number 1, and verse number 1, we'll read the first 9 verses. It says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders. See, that'd be the pastor, preacher, elder, bishop. To ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. And then he gives qualifications. Verse number 6, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. So what he's saying there talks about the pastor and gives the pastor, gives this church here, or Titus, the qualification for the pastor. The pastor is to preach the word. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. The pastor is to feed the flock of God. One more. If you'll turn on over to the right a little bit from Titus, go to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. And I believe it's verse number 1 to 4. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 1 to 4. Here's what he says. The elders which are among you, I exhort. Peter is speaking, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now he tells him in verse number 2, he gives him the role of the pastor. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, that would be for money, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. That's his responsibility. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That's his reward. So you have there the role of the pastor. His role in verse number 2 is to feed the flock of God. What do you feed him with? You feed him with the Bible. You feed him with the words of God. You feed him with the Holy Scriptures. You preach and you teach. You see, that's the role. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, oversee things. He doesn't have to do everything, but just keep an eye on everything, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. And whether or not you get paid, it's not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, being willing to do those kinds of things. Verse number 3 says, not as being lords over God's heritage. Now, I grew up in an era where preachers would get up and preach, and they would, you know, I'm the man of God, and, you know, they would give the idea that everybody's got to do what they say. Well, I've learned different. The pastor doesn't have all that much authority. It is only spiritual authority. I never come to your house and tell you to do this or that, you see. Any man can be the man of God. Any man can be the man of God, and he ought to be the man of God. See, so you don't hear me talking about that. So he says, not as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples, in samples under the flock. All right? So the pastor is to feed the flock of God, and which we've tried to do for the, I've told you, I've preached to you nearly 1,000 times. But here's the thing. I don't have the strength nor the energy to do what I once did as I once had the strength. And we need to get another pastor. I'm not sick. For a long time, I've been having issues with the prostate, you know. And, you know, if you know anything about what a PSA test is, you know, I'll go to the doctor and see it. In that world, if you have a count, PSA count of over above 4, well, the doctor gets excited. You probably have cancer. Well, mine is astronomical, 36. It went up to 36, then came back down. I've had biopsy and down here, and it showed none, no cancer. Well, they thought, well, it's probably just didn't get it. I went to Dallas, Texas, to a specialty place, and they said, this will put it to rest. You will either find out if you do or you don't. I went through all of that kind of stuff, an MRI, and it said all negative, as far as I know. The day before I left here, the men laid hands upon me, and I felt God, you see. I felt God. That doesn't mean you can't get it later or anything like that, but I'm not sick. Number two, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I don't want to go anywhere. I love this church. I do. I love this church. That's you people, you see. And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with this church. As I said before, we've had nearly no trouble. I don't want to have any trouble because, you know, when people leave like that, they get a bad taste in their mouth. If, you know, it's a way of saying it. And I don't want people to have that. But I've made a lot of mistakes probably. You know, I've said things sometimes that maybe didn't need to say. See, if I don't have things written down, my wife gets nervous, you see. I'm just joking. Watch out now, she said. If I don't have it written down, she says, don't go off on a tangent. Just kidding, folks. Just kidding. I said, I've got it written down. Notes. I used to be able to preach without notes all the time. That's probably why I was always going off on a tangent. Preaching without notes, you see. But I'm having to stick closer to my notes lately. But I'm not going anywhere. I don't want to go anywhere. Lord willing, next Sunday I'm going to be right here teaching a Sunday school lesson, and the week after that, and the week after that, and the week after that, as long as the next pastor lets me. And I'll preach. I'm staying right here. Lord willing, if Jesus Christ doesn't come, I'm going to die in Portales. I believe in the church. I hope he comes, and I don't have to die. But I believe in the local church, you see. I believe that God established the local church for us to be a witness for us here. But I just want you to know I'm not going anywhere, and there's nothing wrong, not one thing. The last pastor you had was Brother Green, and I met with Brother Green one time when he had to leave. He was leaving, and he wanted me to be the interim pastor. So I've been the interim pastor for 6 years. You see? No, y'all called me to be the pastor. And I know God put me here. I know he did. He just took me by the neck and he said, you get right here. Same thing over there. I didn't ask for the job. But I'm glad that he did. I'm glad that he did. Anyway, that's all I've got to say this morning. Now, I'm going to give an invitation. I'd like everybody that would, if you'd like to come and pray. And my prayer has been this for a long time, that God would bring his will to pass. That God would bring his will to pass in this place. Not my will, but thine be done. You see. So we're going to have a business meeting here in a few minutes. And